Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto all of you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I was sitting outside with my dad this last Monday, wearing my mask and practicing proper social distancing, and we were discussing this whole times of the coronavirus the past few weeks, when he commented, "Makes you wonder if this is the end." Now, my father is not given to frivolous religious speculation, but he would be justified in asking this because pestilence or disease is spoken of in the Bible as one of the signs of the end times. So much to do in our lives, so much unresolved, so many plans never followed up on, all of which make thoughts of the end times seem a little fearful, sometimes even for us as Christians. Folks, it's been a long number of days since Trump and his quarantine first began, then to be reinforced by the governor. In that short time, we've seen COVID-19 deaths rise now to almost 80,000, with no end in sight. We see news stories of small businesses closing their doors for good, people losing their homes, a new normal, we are told, for 2, maybe 3 years into the future. Loved ones dying alone in rest homes. There seems to be so much to fear and so much fear in the world. In our text for today, we see our disciples, and in particular Thomas, and we see their fear. They want to know who or what they can trust in. Jesus is their everything, and they've given up everything and given their all in following him. Now he says he's going away, and they haven't even seen this place, although perhaps they've heard about it, I'm sure. What they have in the present is good, but they're being asked to trust in that which they can't see. This fear of the disciples is kind of like an employee who's about to lose their pension plan, and retirement is looming, and that's all they had. Now the future is up for grabs for our disciples. Maybe we need to ask the question, what is our biggest fear? Financial insecurity? Being alone? Not being successful? Boredom? Death? And perhaps our eternal destiny? Fear of the future? Or perhaps the biggest fear in life for some is like the young man who sat next to a Christian pastor after attending a Billy Graham crusade. The pastor tells the story of how he spoke to the young man of what his new life as a Christian would mean and mentioned that he could now be free from all fear of death. The young man turned and looked the pastor in the eye and he said, "I've never been much afraid of death, but I'll tell you what I am afraid of. I'm afraid I'll waste my life." The pastor goes on to comment, "I believe that fear is deep within each of us. It's been put there by our Creator. No one wishes to waste his or her life. This fear of wasting our life, of not doing something positive with it, and something which pleases God, is a challenging one to calm and address. Jesus helps guide us in dealing with this, but with all fears. Jesus told the Pharisees, "You search the scriptures," and basically it ends up saying, "because you're looking for me, and it is they that bear witness to me." The answer to all fear is found in Jesus. You see, God has brought us all here to this time in history, not someone else. You were meant to be here now, at this present moment. If it had been your great-grandfather or grandmother, they would have been here. But God puts you here in this time as part of his plan for your life. And if he pulls out all the props, or it seems like he is, well, he's got his reasons. Could it be the events of these past weeks of the coronavirus are a wake-up call for us? They should drive us to examine our lives. They should move us to refocus our eyes on the Christ of the cross and on the empty tomb of Easter Sunday. They should move us to repentance and to look to the Christ. Now, in the events of this past week, well, they shake us up. And if they shake us up, they should give us pause to ask, have we been putting our efforts and trust in the right place, in the right things? Maybe we still hope we can cling to the tenacious stability that we somehow reached in the presence. Whatever it is, we've reached kind of an equilibrium now. It's not a good one. Maybe we still hope we can return to the life as usual of the past. Yet these challenging days beg the question, who can I trust? This question calls us back to our Creator God. In the 1974 song by Dave Loggins, "Please Come to Boston," our young vagabond rambler asks his lover in Tennessee to first of all come to Boston for the springtime, then to Denver for the snowfall, and finally come to L.A. and live with me forever. Almost reminds me of the three temptations of Christ by Satan. She responds and says, "No, boy, but won't you come home to me? Settle down, because I am your number one fan." Our young man is called to come back to his true love. And so it is true for us as Christians also. That's what repentance and faith is all about. God's call to his disciples is a call to faith today in our gospel, which requires them to repent of some of the wrong motivations they probably had for following him. It's God's call for us to come home to him and settle down also. Jesus' relationship to his disciples has been like that of a mother nursing her newborn child. There is a natural dependency that had to take place as he prepared these first leaders of the Christian church for their roles in the birth of this church. Now, Jesus has to finish his mission. He must die for the sins of the world. He must rise again from the dead, and he must ascend to his Father in heaven. When his work is done, he belongs in heaven and goes there to prepare a place for all of us who will follow. When this happens, the church and its first leaders must have grown and matured if they are to lead Christ's church. Their dependency on Jesus' physical presence was natural, but they must grow beyond this. They must do this so that they can explain to the early converts how it works, and then one day help them to grow beyond them as well. We also need to be ready for the long haul, for life in this world, and finally for heaven. On this side of heaven and eternity, our relationship to God is one of repentance and faith in the good news of salvation in the Christ who died on the cross for us. To put away fear is always a call to faith. To live in faith is like waking up after a bad dream. When God awakens faith in our hearts, we discover a new peace and freedom to love him and others. Spiritual truth becomes easier to understand and accept. We become vessels fit for the Lord's use. Paul tells the young Christian church in Philippi, chapter 1, verse 6, "I am confident that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." This describes the journey of a spiritual traveler and reminds me of an earthly traveler who once engaged a guide to take him across a desert area. When the two men arrived at the edge of the desert, the traveler, looking ahead, saw before him trackless sand with a single footprint in it. There was no path. There was no marker of any kind. There was no road to be seen. Turning to his guide, he asked in a tone of surprise, "Where is the road?" With a reproving glance, the guide replied, "I am the road." In this story, the traveler represents Thomas, Philip, and us, all who follow. We look across the sands of life in this world and we can't see the way. We naturally want to know everything about the journey up front. We want to do it to get through life in this world on our own terms and under our own steam. But without a marked road, we will die in the wilderness of life. And that's why we need a spiritual guide. We need Jesus. The blind traveler can cross the desert safely if he holds on to the hand of the guide. We can pass through life in this world, even experience the peace of God in this world, through the forgiveness of our sins. And this passes all human understanding. And we can finally traverse the valley of the shadow of death itself and get to our final destination, our heavenly destination, safely, holding on to our guide, Jesus. Jesus' call to Thomas, Philip, and us is the call to faith, the call to hold on tight, although actually it is Jesus who holds our hand. When this, our relationship with Christ, is right, everything else will fall in place. Secure in Christ, our lives do have meaning. St. Francis of Assisi, hoeing his garden, was asked what he would do if he were to suddenly learn that he would die that night at sunset. He said, "I would finish hoeing my garden." Luther said, "Even if I know that tomorrow the world would go to pieces, I would still plant my little apple tree." How can these men do this? Their lives were not bound up in the worries of the world, but they were bound up in Christ. They trusted simply in these words, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they?" Forget seeing the destination. Forget trying to find the road. Focus instead on He who is our guide. Jesus has walked the road of temptation successfully and resisted all temptation and resisted all sin and done that for us. He has crossed the desert of loneliness and abandonment on the cross. He has passed through the valley of the shadow of death. He crossed over and he overcame chasms and deserts and went on to life eternal in heaven. He has the victory, he has the experience, and he knows the way. The Word of God speaks so clearly of Jesus and of all of this. He wants to hold our hand and lead us through. He wants to trust, wants us to trust, and have faith in him, our guide. This is a faith that, without seeing him, believes in his love for us and depends on him for our sense of being loved and significant, and he will lead us into heaven. And he does say in Scripture, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live." Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses only our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the true faith to life eternal. Amen.